This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
If you look at your outline, you understand something. Man, we have been for 4 weeks now in this series called Just Walk Across the Room. And for 3 weeks, we've been exploring kind of a new paradigm, really, for personal evangelism. We've asked this question, what if evangelism is just as simple as walking across the room? And then we talk about, man, the greatest gift that we could possibly give to another person is simply an introduction to his creator, the God who loves him. And then we talked about living in 3D, that is, you know, develop friendships and then discover the stories of those people that you're befriending. And then just ask God, what's the next step in loving this person and serving this person? What's the next step? And so, again, there were no lists to memorize, nothing like that. It's kind of a different paradigm of personal evangelism. And then last week you dove into the power of the story. And we said, man, it is great to be good stewards of the story that God has given you in your life. And if you'll take care of that story and be willing to share it sometimes, man, it'll make an impact on some people in your life. And I'm hoping that this series, this week, these weeks of Advent have made an impression that God has done something in your life. And that you just know, man, there is something immeasurably precious for us to be able to walk across the room, to look at somebody's life and say, man, they need the Lord. How can I serve them and love them and help them? Now, what we're going to be doing today is simply this. How is it that we're going to be able to maintain this vision for, you know, for evangelism? And I am under no impression, guys. I know that a couple weeks from now, you know, if I ask you to repeat, what are the three D's that we talked about 2 weeks ago? How many of you could really, I mean, no, not able, you're not going to be able to do that. I am under no false impression that you'll remember every word that I say or that somehow that you'll remember everything's going on. But what I do hope and what I am praying is that for many of us, kind of a new awareness, oh yeah, this is a great gift we can give to people, and it's not so hard. It's something that we can do. It's something that we can make happen. So I want to talk today about how to maintain this vision. And really, I want to talk about how to change our heart and minds so that we really begin to think about this in a different way. And I want us to do what I'm just calling, you know, grander vision living. You know, in every day of our life, that we get this vision for the people living in our world who need Christ and know that we can do something to serve and love and help them. And that we can do something to respond to the Holy Spirit who's talking to us to be able to share and to love and to do whatever is necessary. Now, to begin this, I want to take you on about a 2-minute vacation. And how many of you need a vacation, by the way, right now? Yeah, a lot of you. My sister was here for my son's wedding last week, and the first thing she said is, "It's so dark around here." She's from Texas, you know, and it gets dark at 4 p.m. And that was, some of you are going, yeah, we don't like that either. So let's take a little vacation, and this vacation is going to be a metaphor for changing our perspective, all right? Now, here you are. Somehow you get this all-expenses-paid trip to Cancun. And you get off the plane, you get in your hotel, and immediately you want to go out and snorkel. So you get in the boat. The boat takes you out to your favorite spot. And then you get your fins and your mask and your suit on, and you are in the water. And, man, the deep blue sea is there. You feel the salt. You smell it. The sun is about 75 degrees, and there's a few clouds up there to break every once in a while, but it's just absolutely perfect. And in fact, the water is 75 degrees and the air is 75 degrees. It just all feels so great. And it's very calm and serene, and you just see the bright sun bouncing off the water, and you are at rest. Now, there's something that's a little bit wrong with this picture, and I'll tell you why. Even though you're getting a free vacation, you're on the water where you want to be, there's something a little bit wrong with the picture, and that's this. You have missed a whole nother world so far because you're still on top of the water. You're still drifting along, just enjoying how peaceful and serene and warm everything is. Well, here's what happens. You get your mask on finally. Yeah, you kind of rouse yourself. Okay, yeah, it's great up here, but I came to snorkel. You get your mask on, and you bob up, and you look underneath the water. You finally muster the energy to actually dip your head underneath the water. And when you do, you see an entire different world. You see a world just buzzing with activity. You know, this school of angelfish just all around you. You wondered, how did I not feel that? Oh, is that a barracuda over there? You know, I mean, it's just full of action and it's a world of color. And finally, there's the ocean floor. How did I not see that all the way to the clarity of this water? And you begin to see, man, this is a different world. And then you pop your face back up out of the water, and you're peaceful, serene, tranquil. Back in, vibrancy and challenge and just all up in the calm. You know, so what is all that? Well, why am I telling you about that? Because you see, I want you to see life from a different perspective. I want you to see that there is much, much more to life than you see on the surface. That if you will respond to the Holy Spirit, Christians, I'm talking to Christians, believers, if you will respond to the Holy Spirit, man, you're going to see a whole different world in which God will show you what He's doing and how you can touch people in your life. And you can remain all calm and tranquil and, that's just, I'm doing my own thing. And isn't it nice? Or if you would be willing to kind of poke your head down and see what the Holy Spirit is doing, to see what God would do through you, man, it's a whole different perspective. Now, since we're already at sea, let me talk to you about a story that's on the sea. It's located there. It's from Luke 5. And the format for our rest of our time together today is just simply this. We're going to look at Luke 5. I'm going to make just a couple of observations from Luke 5 and then one exhortation, and that'll be our time today. Now, I want us to read Luke 5, 1 through 11. You can see it up here. I'm going to read it from a paraphrase called The Message, but this is a familiar story. And I think you can see it on your outlines as well. It says this: Once when he being Jesus, of course, was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God, and he noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. And when he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push into deep water, let your nets out for a catch." And Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night, haven't even caught a minnow." "But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner said than done. A great haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. And Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." And when they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everybody with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "There's nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." And they pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. Now, guys, I don't know if you could sense the elation. I mean, think about this. These fishermen had never had anything like this happen. This was the mother load, okay? They'd never seen a catch like this. They never had to have another boat collaborate with them just to get the fish on board. And it's a red letter day for them. But I want you to understand part of what Jesus was saying to them. And the way I want to do that is I want to read to you one commentator's description of this scene. It says this: Jesus is probably laughing as he tries unsuccessfully to get the boys' attention in the midst of their exuberance. Hey guys, you think that was something? You think netting a bunch of scaly underwater creatures was fun? Try thinking a grander thought for a moment. Listen, how about multiplying the fun factor you just experienced in the last few moments about 1,000? Not that there's anything wrong with catching fish. I mean, I know you're trying to earn a living, and that's just fine. But instead of netting a few dollars, just imagine landing a few destinies. That's where the action is. Jesus' eyes probably glisten with enthusiasm at this point, their rapt attention spurring him on. Peter, James, and John, Jesus said, so far, you three have spent your days being fishermen, but what I'm inviting you to do, starting right now, is to become fishers of men and women. Instead of investing your precious time and energy in catching 6-inch fish, let's go after the 6-footers. Now, guys, believe me, this odd miracle sets up a critical thing that we need to know about. Jesus here is teaching something, and it's the idea of the small fish versus the big fish. It's a very important concept, the small fish versus the big fish. Think with me about this. From the moment Jesus has arrived on this planet, he has been talking to fishermen, but not only fishermen. He's been talking to stay-at-home moms and bus drivers and presidents. And he's saying one thing. Listen, are you going to throw your life away on the small fish, or somehow are you going to get the faith to toss your nets out there and go for the things that really matter? Now, again, nothing wrong with the profession. And in fact, most of us are employed, not in full-time ministry, anything like that. It's not that. It's what we're doing while we're working out in the world. In fact, here's my first observation from Luke 5. Here's what Jesus is saying. Observation 1, the priority is people. Jesus desperately wanted these three career fishermen, as well as, I mean, all the people of Lighthouse Christian Center, to understand that this life is all about people. That's really much of what our 4-week series has been about. Just this fact that, man, if we'll take walks across the room because we care about people, if we'll care about them, if we'll love them, if we'll have what I would just call maybe a radical inclusiveness for people, even if they're different from us, man, if we will do that, pretty soon we'll be involved in catching the big fish. And so Jesus asks all of us who wants to be a walk across the room person, will you choose the grander vision in your situation? In other words, I'm not telling you to abandon the small fish. I'm just telling you to get the vision for the big fish opportunity. You can become fishers of women and men. You can be a successful businessman. Okay, that's okay. But you can also be in the business of redeeming lives. You can be a top student, but you can also focus your attention on studying people and loving people and being the kind of person who can say, man, it's not just what I'm doing here. It's the bigger picture. It's the grander vision. It's about people. That's the priority. You can shine as a salesman. Great, do that. But don't be content with that. Understand that the sales job, man, that's the small fish. It's good. It's great. But move on to the big fish, too. See that perspective. See God's perspective. Look with me at Matthew 5:16. It says this. And this is a paraphrase. Let your light shine before others in such a way that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see that phrase? Let your light shine in such a way. Let me stop there. In such a way means that there must be more than one way. Does that make sense? I mean, if you're going to let your light shine in such a way, there's more than one way. And I think Jesus is saying that we get to choose or not to let our light impact people. That our light will either shine on people and point them toward the Father, or our light will just be kept to ourselves. And in essence, we'll deny people what they need so much. It just says here, make sure that your light shines in such a way. Jesus is saying, hey, that people can come to know the Father because of how you treat them. Think about that. How you respond to them. How you prioritize them. Now, some of you are saying, man, Art, this is, you know, I've got a nice, tranquil life. Okay. But man, if you keep your head above the water and all you see is the waves and how gentle this is and how you're missing out on a whole other world. You're missing out on what God would say, man, would be the most dynamic thing that you could be doing. So will you choose this grander vision? You know, that's what he's really saying. And you know, this is the way the kingdom gets built. I don't know if you realize that. Do you realize that the kingdom doesn't get built because I'm preaching up here? The kingdom doesn't get built because there are pastors all around the country. The kingdom gets built mostly when God's people get the grander vision. The kingdom of God gets built mostly when you start caring about the big fish and not just the small fish. And, you know, again, the jobs God has given us, the families he's got us involved with, those are all beautiful things. But we better not just keep our head above the water. We better dip down and see that world the Holy Spirit has us investing in and doing what he wants us to do. I can almost hear God telling all of us right now, you can catch fish. You can catch the big fish. All of us, right now, today. It's perfectly acceptable to have an occupation. But man, if we stay just an occupation without thinking about the bigger picture, the grander vision, I think we're missing out in so much. And you know something? It's not just that God's kingdom is built. I mean, that's a great thing, isn't it, when God's kingdom is built? When more people come to know Christ, that's a wonderful thing, okay? Oh, man. We all remember those times. Don't worry about it. Okay. You know, it's not just that, you know, it's not just that we build the kingdom of God. It's that, man, also, it's this whole issue is, man, this is the most fun way to live. I mean, think about it. This is the most exciting thing that happens in our lives when we can touch other people for Jesus Christ. So God's kingdom gets built, and we have what I would only call the most exciting thing in life, being involved in God's, you know, activity, being involved in what God wants us to do. Now look, let your light shine. Now, your light, notice that it says your light. It doesn't say your pastor's light. It doesn't say your home group leader's light. It doesn't say your Christian friends' lights. It says your light. And see, that's the reason that I am so encouraged to be able to talk to you this way. I'm not saying, does everybody have the gift of evangelism in this room? No, I would say not. Many of us do not. I probably do. But many of you do not, you know. And that's okay. You still got to have the grander vision. You still got to say, man, the priority is people. You still got to be able to say, man, there's somebody who needs, I can serve, I can love, I can help. And when I do, my light is shining. And then when I wait on God for the next word, maybe he'll tell me to talk to him specifically about Jesus Christ. That's okay. I'll just wait on the Holy Spirit. And if the Lord speaks to me, I'll know what to do. Now let this sink in for a moment. The way you can let your light shine is just simply to do the small things that God calls you to do. That's how you let your light shine. It really boils down to some small things that God calls you to do, and you become obedient to those things. You just become obedient. Jesus knew that if you and I will build a lifestyle around accepting people, serving people, listening to people, embracing people, befriending people, exposing people to spiritual things. If we do that, man, prioritizing people, we would never crave our old ways again. But it's just too exciting. You know, it's just to be used of God, it's just too exciting to want to go back to just kind of that calm, tranquil, above the water deal. And by the way, I'd get sick to my stomach if I stayed up there too long, okay? So it's just too exciting to dip down below and do what God's wanting you to do. Now, as you know, this series is spurred on by a book written by Bill Hybels called Just Walk Across the Room. And I want you to get 1 minute his response around this whole issue of, sharing Christ with others. Let's see what he has to say here.
I've been trying to point people to faith for pretty much my whole adult life. And when someone says the door is closed and I'm never going to open it, I never take never as an answer. I go, never just means no for now. And people quite often are just one devastation away, one business reversal away, one relational disaster away from having their apple cart so upset that they would consider God afresh. And what I dream of for Christ followers everywhere is that they go to work, they go in the neighborhood, they go to school, they go to the club, wherever they go, that instead of being annoyed by people or put off by people who believe differently and have different lifestyles, just imagine what their life would be like if God were at the center. And let that inspire you to pray toward that end.
You know, I love his perspective. You know, when people say no or never, it just means no for now. You know, and isn't it true that when people are irritating and when people are not very nice, you can write them off? Isn't that true? Okay, that's fine. You know what? Fine. You know, I'm out of here, you know. And, and really, his perspective is, no. You just keep making people priority. And sometimes, so that person doesn't seem open to the gospel. Okay, well, but they're open to your love. They're open to your kindness. They're open to your listening ear. And he's often true that it's the things in life that hurt you that make you reconsider where you're at spiritually. And often people come to a point then, oh, that's that guy who's, I know he's a Christian, he's just been, okay, tell me about this, you know. It's there. Now, that brings us to a second observation, really, and he talked about it just a little bit. And the second observation from Luke 5 is the focus is on potential. I mean, it's just this grander vision living is always about, hold it, it's about this person's potential. Think about Jesus himself, how he demonstrated this. When he called these disciples, many of these disciples were just teenagers, you know, older teenagers probably. Were they epitomes of obedience? Did they just do everything Jesus told them to do? You know, even with this net thing, you can just imagine, the disciples saying, well, who do you think you are? We're the fishermen around here. What do you mean drop your net over here? We've already been out, man. It's not happening. You can just imagine. So Jesus, by anybody's standards, these guys were not contending for disciple of the year. But somehow Jesus saw their potential. He saw who they could be, and he had a vision for them. Now this same propensity to see past somebody's no or never and envisioning them submitting to Christ one day is what Bill was talking about on this video. That somehow we look past what is so irritating, what is so painful, what is so sometimes ugly even, and see past rebelliousness, and we begin to see righteousness. Now I can see it in them. Aren't you glad that God looked past your stuff? I mean, think about it. Aren't you glad that he looked past your stuff? If I look back at my own life, in fact, you guys looked at this before and after thing last weekend. Remember that? This before and after story? I know my before had some ugly stuff in it. Before I really committed my life strongly to the Lord when I was 18, I had a lot of bad stuff going on. And one of my big deals was, because I grew up in an alcoholic family, people who hurt me, I just cut them off. I just said, that's the end. And I would withdraw from them. That was just one of the ugly things that was going on in my life. And yet God looked past that to say, oh man, this person has potential. I can see them in the future, and I'm so glad that he did. Everybody has something that needs help. And so the people that you see in your life that have those bad attitudes and they seem so selfish and, you know, you can just fill in the list. You and I must see beyond that. We've got to see beyond it. We've got to say, hold it. Yeah, of course, if people don't know the Lord, you know, of course they'll be that way sometimes. I want us to approach people with the same inclusiveness, the same eye for potential that God has approached me with, that he's approached you with. Think about it. He's approached you just that way. They say, man, look what this person, this son or daughter, could be. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You'll probably agree that Jesus had the eye for potential, and he did it his entire ministry while he was on earth. And in fact, Jesus' eye for potential was to blame really for upending a certain person's life. And this certain person was named Levi or Matthew, same guy. And what happened was this. You remember the story in Luke 5:27. It starts there. Here's Levi sitting in his tax booth. And Matthew is, you know, collecting taxes. And he's someone obviously outside of the faith. And here's Jesus. He comes up to Matthew and he says, follow me. Why would he do that? Because he saw Matthew's potential in Christ. Matthew's comrades probably thought he'd lost his mind. Why on earth would a successful businessman who's getting a lot of money, because tax collectors cheated everybody and they just collected gobs of money, they were rich. Why would a guy who was making tons of money, who was really sitting in the catbird's seat, follow a homeless rabbi? Well, think about it. If Matthew would soon discover that Jesus, what he already knew, man, this grander vision is so much better than the lesser visions that we have. You know, Matthew thought, oh man, the best thing in life is just to bring in the plunder and then spend it on yourself. But God had a grander vision. God saw his potential. And now Matthew is beginning to see, oh yeah, I see that vision too. And so Matthew, for starters, had to walk away from his business. But also, coming to know Christ meant that Matthew began to have some different priorities. And right away, Matthew began to prioritize people. He began to look for the good in them. And that started with the people that he knew the best, his fellow tax collectors. I don't know if you know this, but historically we figure out that tax collectors aren't real nice people. Okay? And anybody from the IRS here today? Okay. And it hasn't changed much, okay? Okay. Yeah, we don't think of tax collectors very kindly. But back then, man, it was really true. They were nasty people. But Matthew began to think of these tax collector friends. Man, he began to see the potential in them. And in those early days, I think Matthew probably said, man, I've got this grander vision now, but I just wish I could figure out what that all means. What do I do? Well, that brings us to our last exhortation, and we're going to see it in Matthew's life. Here it is. The exhortation is this: start small, but start. See, like Matthew, you may be ready to start living this grander vision, you know, where, man, it's not just the small fish, I'm after the big fish. It's not just the calm, tranquil, above the water stuff. It's dipping down and seeing what God has underneath. To see what the Spirit of God wants to say to me. You may be ready for all of that, and you're on board with this, man. People are the priority and look at their potential. But you may be just a little perplexed as to what you're supposed to actually do. And if Matthew were standing right here next to me, he'd say, man, I was confused too. Here I came to know the Lord, but I had never taken Evangelism 101. I had never memorized diagnostic questions that would help me know how to figure out somebody's spiritual condition, okay? All I saw was my friends over in the tax booths over there, and they were lost. And I saw the potential for them. And so here's what Matthew did. He decided to leave his circle of comfort. For 4 weeks we've been talking about this circle of comfort, how beautiful it is, how warm, how womb-like it is in here, how beautiful. No strain, no stress, no anxiety, no demands really. It's just beautiful. Family, friends, people who love me. The circle of comfort is so nice. I want to stay here all of my life. Okay? But instead of staying in the circle of comfort, Matthew did, well, you probably realize what he did already. He decided to walk across the room. That's what he did. He already knew about Jesus. He already knew about his disciples, but then he had a plan, okay? And keep in mind that he was a brand new believer. I mean, he didn't know much about giving. He didn't know much about prayer. He didn't know. The one thing that Matthew was good at, you know, the one thing that Matthew was good at was throwing parties. That was it. Now, some of you are going, wow, now you're really loosening up. You're saying, wow, this evangelism thing can't be so bad. It's about throwing parties, okay? Well, in a way, you're right. Because what this guy did was he just invited all his old tax-collecting buddies into a room with his new friends, the Christian ones. And he said, listen, I'm going to invite the Christian friends and the non-Christian friends and see what the Holy Spirit does. And that's exactly what he did. Matthew was just thinking, man, if they hang around together, maybe God will do something. And that's what he did. That was his next step. Wow, I can do that. What if some seeds would be planted in people's minds and hearts by being together with these Christians? What if my non-Christian friends could understand that my Christian friends accepted and loved them? Wow, wouldn't that be great? Now, as we read this fascinating story in Luke 5, here's what occurs. Matthew could have been utterly consumed by his own transformation and following Christ. Isn't it true? I think one of my biggest regrets when I became, when I really dedicated my life at age 18, one of my biggest regrets is I didn't go after all of my non-Christian friends and just radically, radically do what it took to love them and to bring them into the family of God. But instead, I kind of, in those beginning days, I kind of retreated a little bit. And I cut myself off some from those people who didn't know Jesus. Wow, what a mistake. You know, of course, I've learned since then. I learned a few years later. No, that's exactly what we should be doing is not ditching our friends, but inviting them into our lives, you know. Remember, Matthew said, hey, I could be in the circle of comfort, not going to stay there. I'm going to walk across the room. And Matthew chose that. He chose differently. He chose to see the potential. Christ saw the potential in him. He saw the potential in his friends. Now, you might sum it up this way. Matthew had a right view of his role in the lives of his friends. Now, believers, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, would you begin to think about that? What is the right role for the people in your life who don't know Christ? You know, are they irritating? They can be. Are they pompous? They can be. Are they, you know, selfish? They can be, but they're also many other things. Nobody is all one thing. Remember that. Nobody is all one thing. And God wants us to have a view of them that's quite different. Now, some time ago, a speaker stood on a pulpit very much like this, and he unfurled a whole roll of red stickers. And these stickers, you know, people were perplexed. What has he got this big roll of stickers in his hand for? And there was something printed on the sticker, but they couldn't tell what it was. And he took this sticker, about this big, and he began to place it on things on the pulpit. And he had a tiny replica of a house, and he went and he stuck this sticker on the house. He had one of those Hot Wheels cars, about this big, you know, stuck the sticker on that Hot Wheels car. And, people were perplexed. What is he doing? And the speaker finally said, well, you may not be able to tell what is on the sticker, but there's one word on the sticker, and it's the word temporary. Okay? The things, this tiny house, that'll go. You know, your house, your vocation, your career, your train set, you know, your hobby, you know, whatever it would be. It's all temporary. And they will fade away. Doesn't matter how hard you cling on to them. And if you're living for these things, then you are living for a life of temporary pleasure. Now think about that. Believers, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. And it's okay to enjoy your hobby. It's okay to enjoy the things that God has given you. But it's not okay to live for them. That makes sense? It's not okay to live for what is temporary. And this speaker continued walking across the room, and the audience man was just completely silent after a while because it begins to sink in. Oh, yeah, everything here, it's all temporary, you know? And this speaker's hands declared the fate of the very best that this world had to offer as those stickers made their way to the goods in front of everyone. What was the fate? Temporary. 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 Wow. Think about it. Think about that. There is only one thing in this room that's not temporary, the speaker said, and he had somebody come up, and he put a big blue sticker on them. And he said, man, there's only one thing that's not temporary, and that's the souls of the people in your life. There it is. You know? Come on. It's all about people. That's what he's really saying. And that's what we're getting at today, too. No earthly commodity is going to make it from this world into the next. And so while it's okay to take pleasure in the good things, the good gifts that God has given us, man, don't elevate those to the main thing. Don't elevate them to the main thing. Because believe me, they will not make it into this next world. And yet, the lives of the people that we touch will. As we serve and love and help, as we give our lives to them, man, something is going to happen that couldn't happen any other way. Jesus Christ taught that every human being would be resurrected and would spend either an eternity in community with God in heaven or in isolation from God in hell. And because that's true, because Jesus taught that, man, we've got to have a grander vision. We've got to have that vision. None of us know how the Lord's going to evaluate our lives, but man, when I get to heaven, I want to hear Jesus say, wow, okay, you brought some important, eternal souls into this kingdom. And you didn't center on the lesser vision. So here's my invitation. And I've spoken this invitation over the 4 weeks of Advent, the weeks we gather to celebrate Jesus Christ walk across the cosmos to touch our lives. And here's the vision. This is what I want you to know. This is it for the 4 weeks. Here it is. I want you to opt in to the grander vision of living. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to settle for a lesser vision of life. Back to this imaginary vacation that we took. Remember that? I really don't think Christ came to this planet at Christmas time, ministered, and died for the sake of giving us a calm, tranquil, at-ease life. Do you really think that? He came across the cosmos so that we can have just, oh, the waves are so good. The sun is so bright. I feel so wonderful. I don't think so. That's not it. You know, the way I understand things, Jesus came to bring abundance, redemption, transformation. He didn't come to bring primarily tranquility, but he came to bring us what I would just call a beautiful upheaval of our life. That everything changes when we come to know Him. That He begins to work in our lives and He infiltrates the way we think and He changes our desires and He gives us something that no one else could give us. And we begin to see from a different viewpoint, even an eternal perspective. And our lives are different because of what He does. And this, friends, is why we take walks across the room in order to share this beautiful upheaval with people in our lives. To not let them drift and to move in a way that would ultimately send them to an eternity without God. The gift of the relationship with our Savior. That's what our friends and family need. And the one who will love them like He has loved us, the one who will guide them as He has guided us, the one who will enfold them with His love and walk with them all their life. Wow. That's what we need. Friends, don't settle for what you can see on the surface of life. Would you not do that? Don't settle for what you can see on the surface. There is a whole Spirit-led universe of activity going on all around you that you can tap into right now. And here's my challenge. If you're ready to dip, to put the mask on and dip into the water and catch a glimpse of this exciting world, a world that is vibrant and alive and full of what God is doing, then I'm just going to ask you to start. Start small, but start. Some of you are saying, okay, what can I do? Well, you got a party coming up? If you have a party coming up, I can think of something right away, something small you could do. You can invite some non-Christian friends to that gathering and kind of mix up your non-Christian friends with your Christian friends and say, what will the Holy Spirit do if that happens? And you can begin to trust Him. So, but if it's not that, it can be something else. And by the way, if you ever have a gathering, don't invite 20 Christians and 2 non-Christians, okay? That's ganging up on the non-Christians. You know, invite, you know, kind of make it half and half if you can do it, you know? But if it's not that, man, think about over the next couple of months. Start. Yeah, start small. But start. And here's my promise to you. Once you dig in to people's lives, trusting the Holy Spirit to navigate every turn, every maneuver, once you start into this grander vision, you will never go back to the lesser fish. Because it's never going to be as exciting as seeing God at.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.